that we're doing Mary our Queen because this is the month where we have Christ the King, and we have to understand that Mary is the Queen, Jesus is the new Adam, Our Lady is the new Eve, and this fiat that she gives is very, very important. There's two ways to respond to God. The first way is the way Zechariah responded when the angel Gabriel came to him. He said, when he said, "You'll be the father," and he says, he mocked the angel. He says, "Yeah, sure, I'm going to be the father. At my age, how can that ever happen?" And those words are similar to that. And so the angel said, "You'll be mute. From now on, you will be mute." And that was his punishment. Our Lady, on the other hand, when the angel said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women," she goes, "How can this be? I want to please God," she says, "but I do not know man." So the thing that Our Lady said was, "I want to please God." And this is the thing that we all have to say. What the divine will is the divine will is saying to God, "Let it be done to me as you say." Complete docility, complete surrender, complete submission. And that's, again, what the Lord is asking of us. He's asking us to surrender. Now, a lot of people can't say yes to the divine will because they're in charge. And when they're in charge, they say very clearly to God, "Yeah, sure, this is going to happen." They're acting like Zechariah. It's not that docility. How can this be? How can I please God? How can I do this? But rather, "Yeah, sure, I believe that, like I believe, you know, and whatever." So our response has to be like Our Lady's. It has to be total surrender, total submission, total docility, so that God can have his way with us. God wants to reign in us. God wants to be Lord in of our lives. And then when we don't totally surrender to God, it displeases God. For example, a lot of times what happens is that doubt that we have, as soon as we're reading and a doubt comes into our brain, like, "Yeah," God leaves. God says, "I can't." He just says, "Then you can have your doubt," and he can't teach us anymore. What our job is not to doubt God, not to question God, not to say, "How can, yeah, sure." You know, God says to us, "Becoming living hosts." Now, if we begin to doubt that, God backs off, and he says, "I can't teach you anymore. Your doubt is denial. Your doubt is worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity," and he can't reveal anything more to us. So when we read something and when we have a question, if you really are in doubt, usually what I do is just say, "You know, I've got a pea brain. I don't understand this. You're going to have to explain it to me." And then three or four pages down, the Lord explains it. And it's that docility that he loves. Like, we trust him. We believe in him. We hope in him. We have confidence in him. And he is going to answer our question. So the wonderful thing is not to worry, not to doubt. He has so much to give us that we cannot see what he is doing humanly. If you try to understand it from a human perspective, you'll just be confused. That's what's happened to some people who hear about Louisa but don't read Louisa. They hear about what people say about Louisa, and therefore they want nothing to do with it. And those are the souls that Jesus... It's like he says at Bethlehem, he didn't bring in the priests, he didn't bring in the royalty, he brought in the shepherds that smelled like sheep. And if you ever smelled sheep, it's not a pretty smell. And that's why they had the sheep pool outside the temple, wash them, get them out of here, you know. The others were the so-called wise men, the superstitious. They were following the stars. You know, how superstitious is that? And yet, we wear the scapular, we pray the rosary, we go to Holy Mass, we go to confession, and in a similar way, we are considered superstitious. You really believe that confession, your sins are forgiven? You know, a man can't do that. A man can't forgive your sins. Only God can. And we say, well, this is what Jesus wanted as soon as he rose from the dead. The first thing he gave to his church is confession. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. So, again, our job in reading the volumes is, if you have a doubt, if you have a worry, if you have a question, say to the Lord, "How can this be? I want to do this. I want to please God. But, you know, I have a small brain. I have a pea brain. And what the Lord will say is, he'll say, good, and now I will show you. But if we go, I don't believe this, I want nothing to do with this, God says, fine, I can't give you any more. And a lot of people stay in the divine will for years and then leave. How can somebody stay in the divine will for 12 years and then leave? It's because they always came with questions. They always came with doubts. They always came with worries, and God couldn't answer them. And so they had to leave with their doubts, with their questions, with their worries. Our job is to say to Jesus, let it be done to me as you say. And this is why we love Our Lady so much. She is our mother and our queen. She said, when the angel said, you will be the mother of the child, she goes, how can this be? I want to please God, but I don't know man. And so and the same thing with us. God is going to teach us. He's going to lead us. He's going to guide us. He's going to direct us. And if you have a question, please don't go to someone who doesn't read Luisa, because they're not going to answer your question. If they're not reading Luisa, even if they're a bishop, they're going to say, I have no idea what you're talking about, and they're going to say, this doesn't sound too kosher, stay away from it. And that's happened to most. This is one of the reasons why there's a stalling of Luisa, is people hear something. I mean, it could be greatly misunderstood what I'm saying today about living hosts. It could be greatly misunderstood. And when you go to your priest and say, you know, I can consecrate now, and the priest is going to say, you're out of the church. You know, but if you understand what Jesus is saying, it makes total and complete sense. It is Jesus in us that is doing it. We're allowing him to be the Lord of our life. We're allowing him to be the king. He wants to breathe in our breathing. And that's a whole other way of explaining to somebody. But if you go to a priest and say, now, you know, I can consecrate, it's, you know, you'll be thrown out of the church. Where are you hearing this nonsense? Luisa Ficaretta. Oh, I don't have anything to do with Luisa Ficaretta. But it's great. It's everything that Jesus wants to teach you. And it's a mystery. This is a great mystery that God is revealing to us. So somebody called me up the other day and said, I want to tell people I'm going to a theology class, and it's all the top students of our diocese, and I want to tell them about Luisa Ficaretta. What should I say? I said, say nothing. You don't know what you're talking about. You know, you're gonna make them so be repelled by Luisa, by what you think you know, it's gonna be bad. So again, this is a time to reflect, to study, to, like I said, read what we're doing a number of times. Let Jesus teach you. And the more that you read this alone in your room, the more that you read this in front of the Blessed Sacrament, the more God will help. He will expand your capacity to understand this. But if you go out tonight and say to the priest, I don't need Mass because I can consecrate now, it's completely foreign to what Jesus told Luisa. Some people are saying that to the bishops. I don't need Holy Mass anymore. I can consecrate Eucharist now. Some people say they don't need to pray the Rosary anymore, that they have the life of Mary, so they don't need the Rosary. Again, that's all false. You know, Luisa prayed the Rosary every day. Luisa had Holy Mass every day. She was given special permission by the popes to have Holy Mass. Our job is to be faithful and obedient Catholics and let God expand our capacity of what he wants to teach us. So be careful of what you say with these writings, because you won't say the right thing, first of all. And because this is a mystery. And as you grow in this mystery, each time you read it, God will give you an aha. Ah, that's what you mean. Each time you read it, he will teach you more and more and more. But to hear it for the first time and try to explain it, it won't work. You know. So I said to this woman who's studying theology, the best thing you can do is don't say a word. You pray in the divine will for them, and they will, and God will give them the gift. But if you try to explain it to them, like the Lord said to me, three years ago, He said, everything that you're teaching, no saint has ever experienced, and what you're teaching, you're not even close to what this is about. And I've been doing this for 25 years. What God is going to do is, I know nothing. All I know is what Jesus tells Louisa. And as you grow in this, your capacity of understanding will be expanded to the infinite if you let God. He will teach you. He will guide you. He will lead you. But we never go against the church. We never go against what the church teaches. We always embrace what the church teaches. Jesus says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And as we grow in this knowledge, how great it's going to be. He's going to teach you. I'm just giving you a little teeny, tiny, teeny, weeny glimpse of what it's the infinite God wants to show you. So as you read this, as you study this, as you make this your own, watch what God is going to do. Like Our Lady. Our Lady said fiat, and God did 100% of the work. And that's what God wants. See, it was a, even the music is going when I'm talking. So God is going to bring about some great changes, great signs, that it's going to astonish all the world. But first of all, He wants to astonish us. So in your prayer, in your reading, let God show you. Let God teach you. All right, and now we'll go to the second part. That will do the offertory hymn.